Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest on today's show is Father Andrew Hayes, rector of St. Clement's Episcopal Church in Tampa. Father Hayes is a uniquely canine-centric man of the cloth. For one thing, he rarely goes anywhere without his Doberman Humphrey at his side, sometimes including the altar. And, of course, Humphrey's here in the studio with us, which I'm excited about. More about that in a moment. For another thing, Father Hayes, like most dog nuts, if that's not too sacrilegious, thinks his dog has extraordinary talents, enlisting Humphrey to write a periodic blog for the church website. I must say, Humphrey does a darn good job. As Father Hayes goes, so goes St. Clement's, meaning that the church honors animals in numerous and often profound ways. For example, many churches offer a blessing of the animals, but the St. Clement's version of the blessing of the animals to be held this year on October 4th amounts to a full-blown production. More about that as well later on the show. But that's really not the half of it. When it comes to how unusually pet-friendly St. Clement's is, there's the church's People and Pets Ministry, which seeks to keep people and their pets together, even under highly trying circumstances, including providing pet food and some veterinary care to at-risk families. There's also, of course, Bring Your People to Church, in which on the third Sunday of each month, St. Clement's invites parishioners to bring any and all of their animals to attend services, affording people the opportunity to worship alongside their pets. We'll explore the church, the man, and the dog when I speak of Father Andrew Hayes in just a moment here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Meanwhile, coming up later on today's show, I'll speak with Fluffy Gonzalez, the president of Full of Catitude, a cat rescue in Ruskin, Florida. Full of Catitude is participating in a sprawling feline-minded event, Cat Stravaganza, St. Petersburg, taking place this Saturday, September 20th, at the Coliseum in St. Pete. We'll hear about Cat Stravaganza St. Petersburg, as well as Full of Catitude. And, of course, I'll ask Fluffy Gonzalez about her name as she joins us later in today's show. And later, also in today's show, I'll be giving away a pair of tickets to Perfect, described as a meowvelous night of live music, comedy, dance, improv, and a constant party like no other. This event will be held November 1st at the studio at the Carrollwood Cultural Center and serves as a benefit that supports St. Francis Animal Rescue, helping rescue cats and kittens to find loving homes. Right now, though, let's discuss the notably animal-friendly realm of St. Clement's Episcopal Church in Tampa, and notably dog-minded rector of that church, Father Andrew Hayes, joining me here in the studio, alongside again his handsome Doberman Humphrey. With a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Father Andrew Hayes and Humphrey, the talking animals on WMNF. Good morning, Father Hayes.
Good morning, and thanks for having us.
Thank you, and thanks for Humphrey for joining us. He's already a very good boy, and he seems to be looking to try to get behind the mic and say a few words.
He will do. He had the chance.
We welcome that. The show is called Talking Animals, so it couldn't be more fitting. So I'm really delighted to have you and Humphrey here, and I speak with folks across various states, sometimes other countries. So that usually means interviews by phone or Zoom. So it's a rare treat to have a face-to-face conversation. So I'm really delighted he made the trip over. So we'll get to the church and Humphrey in a moment. But partly because you've carved this sort of distinctive path in your years at St. Clement's, I'd like to try fashioning something of a Father Hayes origin story. So can you tell me a bit about your formative years? Where was that, and what was kind of really important to you growing up?
I originally come from the northwest of England, and I was thinking about this morning. My grandparents, my father's side, they actually bred red setters. So it kind of is in my DNA, really, and I was probably born with a leash in one hand and a dog biscuit in the other, and my first words would be good boy or something like that.
Yeah.
And I've always had a dog from, you know, my earliest memories. So there's always been a dog.
Even as a kid and later on, you're talking about? So
yes.
Across the board, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you think that was probably influenced by the fact that in the family there was dogs being bred and coming and going all the time and stuff. So it was like that was the natural thing.
Yes. How you treated dogs and how you sort of had dogs in the home was a lot different when I was a kid. They used to be able to go out and just roam around and then come back when they needed something to eat. But now, you know, we care for them properly, and they are properly part of the family.
Yeah. So I guess there was kind of a family ethos then, really, of like, we love dogs, and we have dogs around, and we treat dogs really well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've had something like 6 dogs in my life, and they've always played a big part in what I did from the earliest times, really. You know, there was Bobby, was my first dog, and then there was Mandy, who was basically a small cow. She was one of those brown and white dog monk, and they're all mixed breeds. It wasn't until I was in my second parish that I got a dog that was part Doberman and part Lurcher, which is a kind of hairy thing. So it looked like a hairy Doberman, but it had all the instincts of a Doberman. It would go around the house every night and check the perimeter to make sure everything's safe. And I just loved the instincts of the Doberman, and the Dobermans became my kind of go-to dog.
So this is probably the second or third?
He's my fourth now.
Doberman mix.
Yeah, so Toby, yeah. The Doberman mix, came over with me at the end of 2006 to join St. Clement's in the parish.
So you came right in with a dog. It was like, hey, you take me and the dog or I ain't coming.
I wish that was true, but I was actually thinking of trying to rehome the dog.
Oh, yeah?
Because I didn't think it would be that easy to get him over here. But then he fell ill, seriously ill, and I'm thinking to myself, who would look after my dog the same way as me?
Right.
So I contacted the church, and they were like, oh, we are so glad you said that. So there was already a kind of welcoming of pets and animals within the church
back then,
before I arrived. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he arrived, it was actually easier for him to get into the country than me. And he had a wonderful ride over on the aircraft in this huge crate, whereas I was stuck in, you know, economy with no room.
more dog people, I guess, making the seating arrangements there. Yeah, so that's great. We got to put the dog in, if not first class, something equivalent to it. Well, that's great. And what dog was that?
That was Toby.
Okay.
He was a black and tan, part Doberman, part hairy thing. But he had all the instincts of a Doberman. He was a wonderful dog.
And so just hearing some of these, at least, they all kind of have that E ending sound. Bobby, Mandy, Toby.
Yeah.
I mean, Humphrey, I guess, kind of... It sort of qualifies in a sense, not as distinctly, I guess.
After Toby, there was Barney.
Okay. Now we're keeping it going.
He was adopted. He's my first dog in the U.S. I got him when he was 6 years old. But then I kind of broke the mold with Winston.
Even I can tell that sounds different at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I need... Wait. Let's put it this way. You look at a dog and a name appears. That's my experience anyway. And he wasn't anything that ended in Y.
And how so? How did he seem like Winston to you as opposed to a name that did end in Y?
He was quite gentlemanly and English, and I'm a big fan of Winston Churchill.
I see. So that's the Winston we're kind of thinking of when we said this dog's going to be called Winston and not have an E sound at the end.
Someone with his own ideas.
Yeah.
He carves his own path, which he certainly did. And because he came as a rescue from Miami, he was everyone thinks he was a bait dog.
Jeez.
So he was a real mess.
When you first met up with him?
Yeah. Yeah. So I created a story for him, and that he was a DJ in Miami.
Okay.
So there are photographs of him wearing headphones.
We got DJs, we got bloggers, we got multi-talented dogs across your lifetime of canine friends, sounds like. Yeah. Well, how did that, were you reluctant because he had been a bait dog, or did you feel like, I've got so much experience with dogs that I think I can make this work, or?
I was looking for a dog after Barney, and I was on a website for one of the Doberman rescues, and his picture just spoke to me. This is the same with Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
I got him from the Doberman rescue in West Palm Beach.
Oh, great.
And you're spoiled for choice, which is a pretty awful thing to say, that there are so many rescues. And the one thing that amazes me in Florida is that think of a dog, think of any breed, and there's likely to be a rescue for that breed. which just blows my mind.
Well, that's great. I mean, I know what you mean about it being like sort of an embarrassment of riches and sort of a mixed bag that there's so many. But on the plus side, there are people that either for allergies or just frankly being finicky or whatever, just have one breed in mind, and it's hard to find one to adopt. But you can find, like through Pet Finder or searching for some of those things. So there's always a dog for you, even if you have like crazy parameters or preferences or whatever. So I know what you mean on this sort of downside of so many rescue dogs. But at least there's ways.
At least there are rescues.
Yeah, and there's always a way for somebody to have one join their family, even if they're thinking, I'll never find whatever my weird specific breed is. It's out there somewhere, yeah.
So the weirder and more specific, the dog's still out there looking for you.
For sure, yeah, that's great. Let me let folks know, maybe tune in just a bit late. This is Talking Animals. If you did just tune in, my guest is Father Andrew Hayes, rector of St. Clement's Episcopal Church in Tampa, an unusually dog-centric man, as we've established, with a long history of dogs, including Humphrey, who's with us in the studio today. At an unusually pet-friendly church, indeed, St. Clement's will hold its impressive version of the Blessing of the Animals, of which it does annually. This year, it'll be on October 4th. So Father Hayes and Humphrey, again, are in studio with us. If you'd like to ask them a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663. Email dj at wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. All right, so let's advance the storyline a little bit. You kind of alluded to this, but when did you arrive at St. Clement's? And describe sort of what the church was like when you first got there, just generally, and obviously animal-related. It sounds like they already were sort of predisposed to like animals. But I'm just trying to get a sense of what you walked into. It's some 18 years ago, I think, now.
Yeah, it was the end of, it was November 2006. Took a year to get through the immigration process. Started 2005, that's when I was offered the position. And when I came, they were just a very, very friendly people. And animals seemed to be in the mix anyway. Because I came in November, I'd already missed the Blessing of the Animals that was already in existence. So I had to wait until 2007 before I experienced their first Blessing of the Animals, which was a really, really good experience. My dog loved it. I loved it. It was just, it was as if we'd arrived home in so many ways. And it was really good fun. And to be able to have animals, and it's all animals. We had chameleons and birds and cats. And the strangest thing I've ever blessed was a stick insect. This young girl came.
Walking stick? One of those walking stick? Or what, is that what you mean?
It was about, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches in this plastic vivarium, I guess it's called. And I just thought it was full of twigs,
You didn't think a living thing was inside there?
I was looking for a hamster or a gerbil or something like that.
You're missing your animal. They escaped.
She pointed to it, and I had to look very, very closely. Oh, okay. Great. That's a blessed day stick insect. So the variety of animals, it was just really incredible. And I love that, you know, that the people would bring the things they love. And, of course, it's mostly dogs and some cats.
Yeah.
Dogs, because they're kind of more biddable. Cats, they come, it's because they have told their keepers. Oh, do people really keep cats? It's the other way around. The cats.
Well, that's how the cats view it, I think, at the very least, right? Yeah.
And they thought, you're going to take me for a blessing today, and the people obey.
Yeah, you don't argue with a cat.
No.
Yeah, for sure. So even back then, it sounds like the early on, there was kind of a wide array of animals that were coming for their blessing.
Yeah, but that was it. It was just the blessing, really. It was the people would turn up for a short service, and the people at St. Clement's are always have been good at putting on a spread, you know, putting on food afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it would be the blessing and then food.
Yeah.
And then that was the mainstay until a few years later. When the whole thing exploded. And I wish I could say it was my idea. It wasn't. It was one person in particular, a kid, and a whole bunch of other people who made it happen. And I was just there and thought, whoa, this is
so when you say exploded, how did it change from the year before the explosion to the year of the explosion?
So It was just the blessing itself. You know, we would do the blessing of the animals, but this became bigger with using our parking lot for vendors who were selling pet-related goods. We'd have all the rescues coming for, like, also the non-profits who look after and care for the creatures as well. So we had adoptions available. People told us about bird rescue, including raptors, and we had the all different kinds of dogs coming.
And it was, so it was really more of a festival at that point,
yes,
it sounds like.
We even had somebody doing horse rides, a painter horse, beautiful, beautiful horse.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've been trying to sort of build it up. And then we went into the kind of post-COVID period where it was just everything was more difficult.
Sure,
And now we're hoping to sort of really come back with a bang, especially this year.
So what are some of the things that people can look forward to? Again, it's October 4th at the church itself, obviously, right? And that's from when to when on the 4th?
From about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock till about 2.
Nice.
And it's we've got loads and loads of different people coming. We've got Animal Lovers Dream Rescue, Feline Dreams, Humane Societies coming. We have even Pork Butt Pastures, which is a pig rescue.
Okay.
They're bringing 7 piglets from 11 weeks old. I mean,
There
is a variety. Then we have people who work alongside animal rescues. There's like Roxy's Coffee, who sells ground and whole bean coffee, and is providing that to the church, as you know, which was really, really good. And the guy there, he had a dog called Roxy. That was another bait animal. And this is the wonderful thing, that people don't just have pets and then mourn their loss. A lot of people actually work, see what's happened to their pet, their animal, and then work to try and alleviate conditions for them. And with Roxy's Coffee, a portion of the money that you goes towards paying for against abuse,
rehabilitating, and probably awareness and stuff.
And it's just really, really incredible that an animal can move somebody so much.
Yeah,
it just changes the center of their life.
Well, they're so adaptable, and they come back from horrible situations. I mean, it's hard to imagine what's worse than being a bait dog. The fact you see them recover and have that sense of recovery and redemption and functioning and ultimately trusting, which is a beautiful thing to see with a dog that's been through that kind of hell.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I think today the dog finds you. And in some respects, I think as well that your previous dog sets you up for your next dog.
How did Winston set you up for Humphrey?
Well, Winston was he was the opposite of Humphrey. Humphrey's very outgoing. Winston was very quiet and
professorial, calm. I get the sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Did he have a Meerschaum pipe by any chance? Or,
Don't give me ideas.
Okay. All right. But worth exploring, at least.
He was a very quiet dog and very introspective, and that was understandable. And he didn't show any of the real characteristics of a Doberman. He didn't do the perimeter walk. He'd go into his own bed and you know, he'd check on you, and that's about it. And then when I was looking for, he died of cancer, around 12 years old. And then a few months later, because I think the longest I've ever gone without a dog is 3 or 4 months.
Wow. That is a short time.
Yeah, and it...
But I mean, that we've established that pattern was really... set up as a kid, right? So it's probably unimaginable to you to think, well, I'm sad, of course, and I'm grieving for the loss of that thing, but I got to get back to the dog business.
Yeah. And the other thing is, the only time I ever walk is if I have a dog.
Oh,
the,
I
the
see.
The dog is the reason I
so
get
there's
up
perks,
the
perks for Father Hayes. Yeah.
So that was one of the things as well. I'd stop walking.
Yeah.
I went on to the previous website when I got Winston, and he sort of amalgamated with other people who were doing Dobermans. And so he was at Lake Placid, and now it was West Palm Beach. Mm. And I just look at the photos, and one will speak to you.
Mm.
And you don't know why.
Yeah.
And this time it was Humphrey. And so I contacted the people, and they wanted me to look at younger dogs.
Well, how old was Humphrey when you first spotted him?
He was 5.
I see.
And he had heartworm, he had fleas, he had other worms, he was ear infections, he had a load.
It was challenging.
Oh, yeah. And he was chained up in a concrete backyard, and he tried to chew through the chain, so he had a lot of teeth worn out. Mm. And I don't know, but they were just trying to say, no, look at this other dog. And I was kind of adamant. So I turned up eventually to see Humphrey. He wasn't called Humphrey at the time. I think it was Onyx. And he came in, he sat down, I kneeled down with him, and boom, that was it.
Love connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
I'm going home with this dog. Mm. Yeah.
And it was, you know, only afterwards thinking, okay, what is your name? And I was thinking Henry, but no, it turned into Humphrey.
Yeah.
Still got the Y thing on the end.
Right, yeah. No, we resumed the trend after a brief detour with Winston.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. Well, so here's something that I should know, and kind of dopey that I don't. But back to the blessing of the animals, what actually happens? I mean, we've heard about the wide array of animals that you're happy to bless when people bring them. But what does that blessing do? What does that confer on that animal, that blessing on that day?
It recognizes the animal as being a bigger part of creation than we may otherwise think. You know, we live in a very connected world, you know, as humans. Quite often, animals are left out of the loop. And I don't mean that, you know, you should buy your dog a cell phone or something like that,
yeah.
Although that would be interesting.
Well, your dog needs a laptop, probably, a new laptop for all the blogging duties.
Yes,
but
true.
That's another conversation.
But we kind of... Our circle of seeing creation is very limited. We often don't listen to the sounds around us. You know, we don't listen to the birds. We don't, you know, we don't see anything. Say in an armadillo. We're not amazed by a sandhill crane.
Yeah.
And quite often we don't realize if you have a dog or a cat or even a stick insect. You have an alien being next to you. And we've gotten so used to these things. We don't even think about it. And the blessing of the animal recognizes this, the wholeness of creation.
So that blessing is kind of, in a way, speaking to that issue of saying,
yeah,
this dog or this stick insect or whatever that's in front of me is part of, you know, our great big world, all of God's creatures, I guess. And so by blessing him, we're acknowledging that. We're acknowledging that to the humans that brought him or her to
we
the...
We also acknowledge service animals. We acknowledge those who are companion animals. My favorite is Vlad the cockatoo. When Candy, the owner of Vlad, and it's a service bird, comes down for communion, and Vlad's sort of staring at the communion wafer. And,
shouldn't I?
Yeah,
that kind of
I'm
thing,
thinking,
yeah.
Okay, if he goes for it and eats the communion wafer, what are the canon laws for this? Because I don't know what to do next. Do I have to learn the Heimlich maneuver for a
right.
bird?
Right, chokes, yeah.
So there's all these things. But also within the blessing is the hope for good health. And we have had stories of the turnaround of health for some of the creatures we've blessed, and also, you know, the companionship they bring will be deeper.
Yeah.
So there's a whole round of things that, you know, it's only a short blessing. You know, it's ask the name of the people and the pet. For some reason, I remember pets' names better than I do people's names.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me, Father Hayes, but.
And then we bless the animal. They receive a little St. Francis medallion, and maybe some other things to go with it. And the you know the person goes off with the pet, and hopefully there's a whole new bonding process going on, and a recognition of the wholeness of creation, that would be one of the things I hope would happen.
And how many animals, like on this coming October 4th session of the Blessing of Animals, just based on history, how many animals might you bless during one of those days?
I'm going to say at least over 100.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a lot of blessing.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's not just me.
Okay.
We have St. Clement's also has a Hispanic church, St. Francis. So Father Levan, native Spanish speaker, will be doing a lot of the blessings as well. So we not only appeal, you know, to the English-speaking population, but it's anybody in the community. We are a community church. We are open to everyone, regardless, and that includes the pets as well. So
yeah. No, there's. I mean, people pay a lot of lip service in all kinds of ways and all kinds of settings to inclusiveness, but St. Clement's really seems to be kind of a hallmark of that. I mean, not just the animals, but, a range of people, and obviously LGBT, as I recall, and just anybody that is interested in coming into the church is welcome, it seems like.
Yes, certainly.
That's great. And just as a side note, What kind of service animal was the cockatoo, or is the cockatoo? What does that cockatoo do for its person?
I believe he recognizes symptoms of high sugar.
So diabetic pairing there. Interesting.
Which is amazing when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, it's like dogs that can tell when they're... either if not their blood sugar, when they're going to have epileptic seizure, and just the body chemistry changes enough for the dog to pick it up. It's remarkable. But I think we all know the animals are remarkable.
So. Oh, yes.
This is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Father Andrew Hayes, rector of St. Clement's Episcopal Church in Tampa, talking about the Blessing of the Animals that they're doing coming up on October 4th and other programs they have there that make them, I think, fairly distinct in the realm of churches and animals. So if you have a question or a comment for Father Hayes or for Humphrey, who's sitting quietly and patiently waiting his turn, you can call 813-239-9663, email dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So we've kind of covered this. We'll come back to... Let's be sure we hit some of the other things, and we'll come back to some of the things that I was going to get into now. The People and Pets Ministry, one of my favorite things really about St. Clement's is that ministry, because it's propelled by compassion and offering. I mean, the whole church obviously swirls around in compassion, but that one seems like offering a hand to people and dogs or cats or animals that need a hand, need some assistance. So can you talk about the ministry a little bit, how that works?
Yes. It came out of a brainstorming session where somebody mentioned that nowadays a lot of people are struggling not only to put food on the table for themselves, but also for their pets. And out of this grew the People and Pets Ministry. The third Saturday of every month, we provide pet food, mainly dogs and cats, kitten and puppies, for people who... face the choice: do I feed myself or do I feed my pet? And it's a really serious decision to have to make.
Yeah.
And we want to try and alleviate at least a little bit some of that concern. And it's grown. We have a lot of people who help out. We're providing the food, but we also have an incredibly wonderful group of volunteers who come every Saturday to do all the setting up, do all the work with the people, make sure it's all loaded in the backs of their cars, trucks. And it's a very satisfying volunteer effort.
But is it sort of first come, first served, Father Hayes? Or, I mean, like, is there... often, or I hope not too often, a disparity between the needs of the people that turn up at that and what you're able to provide in terms of the...
God is good. I think we've only ever not had enough once or twice.
Okay.
And then that's been in certain areas, like all of a sudden we need a lot more kitten food, we didn't have enough, or puppy food. But for the most part, it's just been incredible that
everybody gets the help they need, basically, on those Saturdays.
And then on the Sunday, everyone's invited to bring their pet to the service itself, and there's always water bowls on the floor for the dogs. And we do tend to get more dogs than, well, you know, cats. We do have some cats come. It's just really interesting. And the best thing about dogs is that, if they listen to my sermon, sometimes they have something to say about it.
Some barking?
Oh, yeah.
So what seems to set off the barking in the contingent?
Probably me going on and on and on.
Oh, I see. So that's like, wrap it up, Father Hayes, we've heard enough. Is that their signal?
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's interesting. And what else? I mean, there must be some great stories that have happened from those services. How long has that service been offered over there at St. Clement's?
2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So there must be some interesting and or amusing and or crazy stories that have popped up over the years with animals attending mass or trying to.
Well, yeah, the most of the fun is when they come down and the person's receiving communion, and you bless the dog, the dog decides it's time to go, and then you see the person sort of being whizzed sideways, when they're trying.
They come up on a leash, presumably.
To get communion.
It's
one of the few things we make sure that they're on leashes. But it's just really, and they make you smile. I think that's the main thing. It's so natural. It doesn't feel strange. It just feels, they belong here. It's just really nice. And they all really do behave incredibly well. It's like they know that, I've got to be on my best behavior here. And when they do bark out, it usually is a kind of punctuation and a joyful thing.
So they're not telling you to wrap it up. They're just chiming in with their point of view along with yours.
I think some people who know my sermons can be ponderous now and again will say, yeah, they're saying, please shut up.
Well, that doesn't seem very polite, but that sounds like you kind of roll with the commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about some of the unusual animals that participate in the blessing. What are some of the more unusual ones that turn up at those services on those third Sundays of the month?
We've had lizards and snakes. And fortunately, nobody's really freaked out. I mean, some people do have a kind of thing with snakes.
Kind of
just look slimy.
For sure.
It's been good. And that's about the... I think we may have had a gerbil come.
Did I read or hear maybe this was something else? There were skunks involved in something?
Oh, gosh, yeah. We had a rescue of skunks. And the best ever photograph of me ever was me holding a skunk called Smelly May. But the skunk still looks better than me.
Oh, jeez. I don't know if that's probably true, but it sounds like quite a photo. Well, that's great. And so what's the address, before I forget and get into some other things in our final minutes here of our conversation, Father Hayes, what's the address of St. Clement's? I should have noted that earlier,
it's,
but I didn't.
706 West 113th Avenue in Tampa, 33614.
And again, anybody is welcome to come for services, come for the ministry. Is there anything they need to do ever in advance, like call or contact or say, hey, can I come? Or
no, just turn up.
Just turn up.
10 o'clock, the service is the one with the hymns. There's an 8 o'clock, which is a very quiet service. And if you're coming on the 4th for the Blessing of the Animals celebration, we've got a whole host of human-centric things going on as well. Coffee Uniting People is another one of the things. We have Canine for Christ. We have a community pet project. And we also have the One Blood Drive coming as well. The big red buses you see.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who likes donating blood, that's something you can do as well.
That's great.
You can go to our website as well, www.stclement.com.
So in that case, the Clement singular, not the S, that's in other references. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how we'd manage to do that, but we did.
Well, keep people on their toes, but at least we're mentioning it so they'll find it for sure. And so sort of back to just in our last moment or two here, Father Hayes, I mean, all kidding about Humphrey and other dogs that have preceded it, I mean, one thing that I think I've noted that you've commented on in the past that I think is really important is that they obviously are important companions to you. And I mean, I think a lot of people that do what you do or find themselves sometimes living a very solitary existence, so that probably helps offset that, because they're not solitary if they're, like you say, out walking a dog a couple times a day and living with a dog and taking care of a dog. But also, parishioners come to you, I think, for counseling and solace about grief or about other things. And I think sometimes you find that if the dog's there, they talk more openly and they're kind of pointing their comments in the direction of the dog, right?
Yes, that's true. A long time ago, I realized that the dog becomes a conduit for people telling you of their grief and their problems. And I wasn't wise enough at that point, because I would just talk directly to the person. It was shut down. When I heard them talking to the dog. But I understood better, and I would talk to the dog and through the dog to be alongside the person as they were addressing, you know, their grief or their problems.
Yeah. So really it becomes kind of the middleman or middle dog, as it were.
Yeah.
So both you and the parishioner who's coming to visit you are talking to the dog, and you're probably having a more important and helpful or even comforting conversation that way than if the dog wasn't there.
Exactly, yes.
So they probably always check first. Is Humphrey going to be there? Because I got some things I got to talk about.
He'll be there, yes.
Yeah, he's pretty much always there. And now, on a whole different topic, I the Talking Animals Research Department, which of course is just me, or sometimes one or more animals I can recruit to help me, found that you have a background as a rocker.
Oh.
Father Hayes is a rocker. Tell me about that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, back in the day, in the 80s and early 90s, I was lead singer and lead guitarist of a rock band called King for a Day.
King for a Day?
Yeah. It was good fun. We used to gig all over the place, especially back in England. We were progressive rock. We saw ourselves in the line of kind of Genesis and not Rush, because they're... their musicianship's way beyond anything we could do.
Yeah.
Just bands like that, with storytellers. The songs are stories.
Mm.
And it was really good fun. Yeah, I
still
play the guitar, but nowhere near as much, and nowhere near as well.
Yeah, it's hard to, if you don't keep it up, it's hard to keep those chops kind of where they were. But that's great. So what halted, just when people moved off to other areas, that's what ended the initial band there, King for a Day?
Yeah, it was me who kind of broke the whole thing up, because I went to seminary.
And
they actually thought...
The nerve of you, right?
Yeah.
That's not the rock and roll way.
So we did a gig. I told them what I was doing, but they didn't believe me. They thought I'd be back in a few weeks, and I wasn't. So the band just kind of stopped. It didn't really break up.
Mm.
And all my friends, they're still musicians, they're still playing, and... back in England, and it's really good that they've kind of carried on.
Yeah, no, that's great. But I bet they miss you and your guitar work and your vocals, probably.
But yeah, the vocals are just not what they used to be.
Well, that's still, that sounds like a fun part of your background.
Oh, yeah, it's good fun.
So how did St. Clement's find you initially all those 18-plus years ago?
I believe in God incidents, so like breadcrumbs that you have to follow. And my God incident started in 2000 when I moved parish. I developed rheumatoid arthritis. And in 2001, there were riots in my parish.
Mm.
You know, and it was kind of world news. I got emails, which back in 2001 was kind of rare-ish.
What was the cause of the riots? What happened?
The way the country was going at the time.
Okay.
And it just happened to all be outside my church. And so out of this came emails from all over the world, Australia, Germany, Alaska, which I thought it was its own country, and places in the U.S.,
yeah.
Ohio and Florida. And it was through one of those things that I got in touch with the chap in Florida, and he was a nurse, and I needed to go in for some medical things that were supposed to take 3 weeks, took less than a week. I went back online, it was AOL, and, you know, when you went on AOL, people would know you were on. I was invited to come over.
Oh, the chat rooms, AOL, yeah. Forums, or I forget what it was called back in the day.
Yeah. That's right. And he said, what are you doing? I said, and he invited me. And I said, well, if we can get a ticket and all these other things, the barriers I thought would never happen,
yeah,
I'll come over. And everything fell into place. I came over, loved the place as soon as the door opened on the aircraft and all the humidity and heat came in.
Yeah.
But the place made me feel better. And then I started going to church here. It became my go-to vacation destination. Mm. And every time I went to the church, the bishop would be there. And he found out I was a clergy from the Church of England. He said, do you fancy applying for a job? I said, no. But I still kept seeing him. He eventually gave him my resume. And then a couple of years later, I got an invitation. And everything, again, just fell in place. I was already coming over. They were looking for somebody. Boom, 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 boom. And then I was offered the job, and I said, yes, please.
And wow.
It's just... You know, I still pinch myself almost 20 years later.
You absolutely love it. It sounds like, I think you're very well loved, obviously, at St. Clement's. And I guess compared to other churches or maybe kinds of churches, seems like people get moved around more frequently than, is it common or it seems uncommon to have an 18-year and counting stint?
It's not common. The Episcopal Church, and all you do, you know, you wait for God to say, you need to move. And that's not happened yet. So 18 years, 19 years in, and they still turn up on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if anyone listening would just, you know, think, oh, okay, let's try this, see what it's like.
So, yeah.
And, you know, I love the community. They're just genuine. I love that about them.
And I get the sense, the feeling is super mutual. And also, like, just exploring the website and stuff, there's a lot of things that are welcoming because it's not the sort of hard and fast, you know, sort of philosophies that you find in a lot of church settings where, I mean, there's things where you said, you know, you might be feeling this way or might be feeling a bit doubtful or skeptical or whatever. Sometimes we are too. There's something to that effect. It's not a direct quote, but it's paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. I just thought, well, that's so great because these times especially, you know, to not say, we know exactly what to do, just come over to the church and we'll get you all fixed up, but just come check it out. And if you have some concerns or some doubts or some misgivings, you know, we'll share ours with you as well. And that's how a connection is made, right?
But I get that from dogs. Dogs always meet other dogs. Humans don't always meet other humans. And I think we can learn from dogs that way.
Well, that brings us right back to dogs. And Humphrey, that might be the perfect place at which to end our conversation. So we've been speaking with I keep saying doctor sometimes that just shows you my respect for Father Andrew Hayes of St. Clement's Episcopal Church in Tampa. And thanks for joining us on Talking Animals. And again, the website is StClement.net to find out more about the church and services and how you can get involved and how you can support some of their great work. So, Father Hayes, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you for having me.
In a moment, I'll speak with Fluffy Cazales, who leads Full of Catitude, a cat rescue in Ruskin, Florida. They'll be participating in Catastramba, St. Petersburg, taking place this Saturday, September 20th, at the Coliseum in St. Pete. We'll hear more in just a moment on Talk Animals. Right now, though, we're going to step into the Comedy Corner with a piece I thought both Father Hayes and Humphrey would particularly enjoy. And this is called My Dog Talk to Me from Amir Kay in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals on WNN.
Owners have had that thought, like, I wish my dog could talk. Yeah. Right? You have that thought. But immediately after that thought, I have the thought of, he's too needy. Yeah. If Doogie could talk, and he had a cell phone. Dude, I'd leave the house for 5 minutes. I'd check my voicemail. It'd be like, you have 30 new voicemails. Boop.
hey, what's going on? It's me, Doogie. Listen, I know you said we're going for a walk. I just kind of wanted to touch base and see what time you were thinking. Go ahead and give me a call back. I'm at home. Boop, hey, it's me again. Listen, have you seen my red ball? Yeah, you know the one we take to the park? Can't seem to find it. Anyways, no big deal. Call me King. Boop. The Amazon packages are here. Boop. Hey, y'all. You're not going to want to go in the living room. Boop. I'm just kidding. It's me, Doogie. Don't be mad at you.
That was Amir Kay in today's Comedy Corner with a piece called My Dog Talk to Me, taken from a performance at the Comedy Cellar. Now it's time to talk with Fluffy Gonzalez, who leads the Ruskin Cat Rescue, full of catitude, on the eve of a huge event, Cat Stravaganza in St. Petersburg, happening this Saturday, September 20th, at the Coliseum in St. Pete. Let's hear more about both by welcoming Fluffy Gonzalez, the Talking Animals, on WNL. Good morning, Fluffy.
Good morning, Duncan.
Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals. So tell me about Full of Catitude.
Okay. We are a cat rescue. We primarily focus on Hillsborough and Pinellas counties in Florida. And we take in stray kitties, kittens, cats, seniors. If they need medical attention, we take care of that. For instance, we had a couple of kittens over the summer that had been run over by cars, couldn't move. They were dragging their rear legs. They had to have surgeries, one of them more extensive than the other, putting a plate in one leg, a pin in the other leg, rehabilitate them, get them up on their feet and healthy again, and then find them good homes.
Wow. So that's pretty extensive commitment to that cat.
Mm-hmm. We do that with all. Some of them obviously come in very healthy, and we spay, neuter, age-appropriate vaccines, microchip, deflea, deworm, and put them up for adoption. And try to find them the best match possible so they've got a long, happy, healthy life.
And did you always have in mind kind of a founding or leading a rescue that would specialize in cats? Like, are you a longtime cat lover in that regard?
I have all of my life rescued anything. cats, dogs, turtles, possums, raccoons.
Wow.
you name it, seabirds. Everybody knows that there's a soft place in my heart for any animal. And so I get the phone calls and I'll go help. It doesn't matter to me what they are, but yes, my rescue focuses on cats. So if it's another type of animal or reptile or whatever, I find the appropriate place for them to go. That will know better how to take care of it than I do.
But, right, kind of refer them.
I will always respond.
Yeah. And so tell me, as the leader of a cat rescue, that your legal name is Fluffy. Is that possible?
yes, that is possible. My brother, who is 5 years older than me, when he was about 3 years old, he said if he ever had a sister, that's what he was going to name her.
Wow.
So,
sounds like he had kind of a seeing the future element, knowing that Fluffy would be involved with cats and all animals, as it turns out. So,
right.
That's great. So on Saturday comes the Cat Stravaganza in St. Petersburg. Just by the name alone, it sounds like quite a feline wingding. Can you tell me a little about it, what all happens? And that's this Saturday at the Coliseum in St. Peter, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yes, Cat Stravaganza is actually a global cat show. So there will be purebred cats there who will be part of the show. Judges there picking best of show, best of breed, etc. And at that event, the thing with Loving Cats Worldwide is they do have a soft spot for rescues. So they have vendor spaces set up for rescues to come in to have adoptable cats there. And they actually, even during their show, have a rescue category where we can get up and show our rescue pets as well, or the general public, if they have adopted from a rescue, they can also enter their cats into that category as well. We have, in the past, had one of Full of Catitude's cats not only adopted during Catstravaganza, but at the very next Catstravaganza that came along, that cat was entered and won Best of Show.
Wow. Well, that's great because, you know, sometimes functions like this, when there's purebreds, some people sort of take a dim view. But I love the fact that if it's going to be some purebreds, there's also rescues and rescues that can actually go on to win a prize at the show.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
That's why we enjoy participating with this one. We've had cats at most every show that we take up on the runway, so they get to do their runway walk.
Wow. So where would people hearing about this find out more about the Catstravaganza? Is there a dedicated website or social media page?
Yes, they can go to the Loving Cats Worldwide website.
Okay.
Or they can go to the fullofcatitude.org website, and under events, they'll see the Catstravaganza St. Petersburg, and it'll take them to the Loving Cats Worldwide.
So all the details are available one place or the other.
Yes.
Well, that's great. It sounds like it's going to be quite a Catstravaganza indeed. And it sounds like it's really fun and a great opportunity for cats to get rescued and adopted and have a nice time seeing cats do their thing.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals, and good luck on Saturday.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're at the tail end of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Coming up on, it's The Conversation, The Great Show, hosted by Mario Nunez and Joe King Carter. After that, it's The Scoop, WNF's brief news recap. Then we shift back to music program and Sam Wall holding forth from 1 to 3, followed by Nancy C. She's back, babies. She's back. Hosting the Traffic Jam from 3 to 6 p.m. and more great music and stuff after that. It's Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. We'll see you next Wednesday.